Blog Talk Radio.
This is Simon Nicole. I'm Joshua. As we go down the river of life, talking about encouragement, love, health, nature, travel, gardening, grieving, cooking, recipes, and whatever takes your mind. Welcome. Nicole, welcome. I'm Joshua. As always, a warm welcome to whoever you are and wherever you are. Just a really, really warm welcome. Great to be with you. Great to be with you. Another fabulous, another glorious, hot Texas day with a storm or two thrown in as well. But basically another day where we are loving life and loving living. And I really hope that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I hope you're keeping well, staying safe, and most of all, savoring life, and hopefully making the most of every minute savoring your God-given blessings. It's great to be with you, good folk. It's great to be with you, good folk. And we already have some very naughty people in the arena at this particular time in the switchboard area. We've got the double there, the double duo in there. But the only thing is, one of them is very polite. The other one is probably not quite that way in the way of their behaviour. But young Alan, he's the well-behaved one, and the mad scissor lady with her pliers and cutters trying to disconnect the show, she's in there as well. And we already have some very respectable gentlemen in the chat room with their tuxedos on, and very, very, very respectable people. They're nice. It's good to see them coming up the gangplank there. Golf must have had an early dinner or something. Golf was here well before the show started. Good to see you, Golf. And a young Mike, brother Mike, all the way from Iowa, from Boone, Iowa. And we have Bigfoot as well. Bigfoot's Sasquatch wandering around the neighborhood. He's here. But great to see you guys at the moment. And as I say, I enjoy sitting with my friends. And as always, it's... Well, I'm not sitting, I'm standing anyway. I stand at the computer. Otherwise, I don't want to sit and get into that old redundant, what do you call it? That oldie sort of situation. I'm going to stand up and try and be like a little spring chicken. So, but I enjoy sitting with my friends and chatting with you people. And it's good evening to those of you listening either live or in archives, those in the USA and Canada, and good afternoon to the East Coast of Australia. Good evening to the East Coast, or not good evening, it's good afternoon to the East Coast of Australia. It's Thursday afternoon down there. So, yes, and we've now got Purple Pill in the chat room as well. So, good evening to Purple Pill with your tuxedo, whatever. I'm assuming you're wearing a tuxedo. Anyway, it's what you would call a good early morning to our friends in the UK and Europe and South Africa, and just a friendly g'day, hello, howdy to all those coming in archives later on. So, thank you. And for any new listeners to the show, just to check out the first 15 minutes of our very first show we did, which is way back, it's the introduction and overview show, that will explain what this podcast is about and how we celebrate and commemorate We Samoans A Brief Life. And hopefully the show will bring you some relaxation and some tranquility and maybe some serenity into your life. Every now and again, a little bit of frivolity sneaks in, but I'm just generally a very serious, grumpy old man, and get off my lawn, you know. But no, I'm just this grumpy old dude doing Samoan show for her. But check out SamoanNicole.net, SamoanNicole.net. And just another little program information piece, is very minor, but someone might have picked it up. We've been on Blog Talk Radio for a long time, ever since we started, under the category of lifestyle. And I recently changed that to health, because I think we're more into health things than we are into lifestyle things. I don't know, whatever. And on the health side, there seems to be people who are more attuned to what we're doing. So as always, whether I'm sitting here with you folk live in the switchboard or the chat room or in archives, it's great to catch up, and I'm looking forward to mixing and mingling with you, visiting with you people. This little weekly tonic I have of visiting with you on a Wednesday night is one of my valued blessings, and I'm grateful and thankful for the God-given blessings I have in my life, and you guys are part of that. And as always, we'll chat about savoring life and the ride along the river of life with its calms and the white waters, the deep waters, the shallow waters, the bumps and the blessings. And yes, we are sent a few bumps in our lives, aren't we, just to test us. But we get back up and keep going. So, Mike's asking in the chat about me standing during the entire show. Yeah, I got out of sitting at my desk and at a computer over a year ago, I guess 18 months ago, because I realized that sometimes I was sitting for too long, and then when I got up, my body wasn't sort of working as well as it could. So by standing, I feel much better. And it just, from the very first day I started standing and doing things, I felt much better within my body. So, and I'm not a spring chicken, you know, you've got to realize that. But yes, this show, the website, Samoan Nicole's Twitter page, they're all tied to our little angel, Samoan. And in many ways, this serves to remind us older ones of just how fragile life can be. And in doing so, it also reminds us to cherish the God-given blessings that have come our way. I guess the purpose of the show is basically to get away from the madness of the world and just pause and kick back and relax, chill out, and doze off if you want to. But my beautiful... beautiful, lovely SP, the Sky Princess SP, and I are very, very blessed to be living where we live in our wee oasis of tranquility, our oasis of serenity, and have fun too. We have a lot of fun. I am so blessed to have married this, not only a beautiful lady, an intelligent lady, a massively patriotic lady, but also a lady with a wicked sense of humour. There's not many people who can give me back what I hand out, and she gives it back to me in spades. But it's our oasis here. It's our little bowl of joy and happiness, and life doesn't get much better than this, I got to tell you. So even after 19 years, So we're savoring the simple abundances of life around us and enjoying what I call the natural euphoria that comes from it, because this is living, this is loving life, and that's great, that's great. So if you've got some idle time anytime, check out Simon's website for the memes we've got on the website there. The old man put some memes together. I'm not Einstein or any or any other great talent in the world, but SimonNicoleKnott.net, some memes for you to check out. But yes, every day, without fail, SP and I, we thank God for our bountiful blessings here. And one thing is for sure, we certainly are blessed in so many ways. We're blessed in so many ways, and God works in mysterious ways. There's no doubt about that. God certainly works in mysterious ways. And I got a little reading for you guys tonight out of the book of Golden Moments with God, Raymond Barber. That book, Golden Moments with God. The prayer for the day in there is, do not trouble trouble. And they say trouble is seemingly the common denominator in life. Everybody is affected by it to one degree or another. And there are those people who borrow trouble. Not looking at anyone, I'm the original troublemaker, no, but seriously, they seem to thrive on it and are happy when trouble comes to stay. The righteous person is delivered out of trouble, and this is in the book, and God wrote the book. And you can depend on what God says. He's able to deliver you out of trouble no matter how entrenched you become in it. No problem is too hard for God, and He is bigger than any trouble that you have. He is ready at this moment to turn your trouble into triumph. If you call on Him now and find sweet relief as you trust Him to remove the pressure and give you peace. Help is only a prayer away. And by the way, even a short prayer will reach the throne if you do not live too far away. When trouble comes knocking at your door, seek refuge in your closest or in your closet of prayer, and He will meet you there. And the prayer for the day is, Dear Lord, I claim your promise to deliver me out of trouble. Give me peace in the hour of trouble, as I trust you for strength. And as I say, there's no doubt about it, God definitely works in mysterious ways. I've seen it too many times in my life, way too many times. It's just been an interesting exercise. So true, no doubt about it. God definitely works in mysterious ways, and Alan, and the Mad Scissor Lady, Young Sue, in the switchboard. Just so that you know, we have some other people who have arrived in the chat room too. I'm not sure if this guy's in his tuxedo. He tends when he does dress up nicely when he puts his tuxedo on and goes out for the night. It's the Mad Viking from Minnesota, the Mad Viking from Minnesota, Holger. So good to see you here, my son. And anyway, grab your drink of choice, you guys. Grab your drink of choice, and we'll get to our first little music break for the show. So just grab your drink of choice and drink yourself more bliss. Yes, I'm down to my last little bit. I'm going to have to make a new batch of my swamp water, my herbal or herbal. Some people say herbal. I say herbal. The herbal tonic drink that I make, which SP has named very sarcastically, called it my swamp water. But actually, she drinks it now too. So, but she's looking younger too since she's been drinking it. She's looking even younger. But I got to make a new batch of the swamp water tomorrow. But in the meantime, who knows what the music selection is for tonight? And I don't know why I picked this one. I guess I don't know. It's I guess I'm an absolute beginner, so I suppose if we could start off with that, that's probably what ties in somehow. I don't know. Ramon and Nicole, welcome back. And I'm Joshua. Yes, it's interesting that while the music's playing, it's like the geriatrics, the chat room's like the geriatrics home. I'm just saying that so that the people in the switchboard, where that mad scissor lady is trying to disconnect my show, sitting there with the well-behaved gentleman, young Alan, just want to let you guys in the switchboard know that the geriatrics in the chat room are sitting back in their rocking chairs talking about the weather, chatting about the weather. It's like being in an old folks' home here. I wouldn't be so rude as to be like that, though. I wouldn't say those things. But I know the world tunes into this show because we have such vital facts to share in our reports. And we've got the dull, the boring, and the mundane reports. But the exciting tales of the nebulous and inane things that go on here at the little oasis of tranquility. And I know that people look forward to these reports. But we've just been seeing the weather reports in the chat room. So the first report I have is the weather report. And as per usual, the weather is all over the place again. The weather app, I'm telling you, wrong again, mostly wrong all week. It's fine. They tell me it's going to be fine and it rains, and they say it's going to be rain and it's sunny. But other than that, I guess the summary of the week, since I did have a whole week here in this little part of Texas, it's been hot, humid. It was in the high 90s several times. It's been humid. We've had several storms, and two today, one good one on Monday, and one that came through this afternoon for about, I guess, 40 minutes and rattled the place. Oh, man. Some of the thunder across the roof. It takes a little bit to rattle this house, but one of the thunder strikes was pretty good. The kiddie people, a young mad scissor lady would be very impressed with this. The little kitties, I had to rescue the kitties out of the patio kitchen area and take them through into SP's office where they got away from the thunder. So anyway, and on the garden report, my gosh, on the garden report, thanks to all the rain, I only had to water the place once during the week, and since it takes me an hour or an hour and a half to water the place, I was very pleased to see the rain, and we had a couple of heavy rains along the way, and it was good to get out of having to go and do the watering. As much as I like standing out there looking at the sky and watching the birds and all the little bunny rabbits that come and talk to me and everything else, Brer Rabbit, and yes, all the family. But it's nice to not have to go and water. I can do other stuff. But I managed yesterday, I managed to get most of the long driveway to the house. It's a concrete drive there. I managed to in down under terms, we call it water blasting. I noticed several people up this way call it pressure washing. The more politically correct term is pressure washing, I guess. But to me, I water blasted the driveway, and my gosh, I'm telling you, down in some parts of it there, the black mold, and I only did it a year ago too, the black mold that we get here from all the humidity and everything was absolutely incredible. Time I got to the bottom of the place, I spent about 3 hours on that yesterday, and it's all nice because I'm trying to impress SP so that when she comes back, when SP gets back, she might give me some brownie points. I'm not sure, but I know last Saturday when SP was here, I said, I've got to. It looked like that storm was brewing, and one of the storm that got me out of watering on the weekend, I could see the black clouds accumulating, and I knew I had all the street frontage to mow, and there's a big drain out there which you get down and mow in, and it's a bit bumpy getting along there with the old push mower in the bottom of this drain. And I said, this storm looks like it's going to hit us pretty soon. I think I'll run about 4 or 5 strips the length of this drain, which runs probably about 60 or 70 yards, and run down the middle of the drain first, and I'll do the sides later in case it rains. Well, luckily, it started to rain right as I finished, and we got a storm there, but managed to get the street looking nice and tidy. And so from the garden point of view, yes, the back lawn out from my office here, I can see down the back half of the property here, the lawn here the other day, man, it was thick and wet, and it just... That's at the end of the day, after it's been dry all day, sunny all day, supposedly, and it's just so thick, the grass, it's incredible. Maybe I should start growing hay and selling it or something, I don't know. But, yes, and in the gardens, the roses right now, roses by the absolute dozens of roses. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. The little memorial garden I put round the back for my dear mum, with the 7 roses in there, they are prolific, absolutely prolific. And then the roses out the front, along the front of the house, and then down the side of the driveway to the street. I've got too many roses. I'm spoiling SP with roses, and now that you're not here at the moment, I'm spoiling myself, putting them in the house. They look lovely in the house anyway, so it freshens the place up. And the herbs and the lettuce and the vegetables everywhere, going crazy. So, but with this weather, and with the weather we have had, I can see I'm going to be spending Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday at the back of a little push mower running around mowing lawns because, man, it's gone crazy. And finally, the tall red sort of maroon or burgundy-coloured leaf cannas we got out the back here, they've got a deep, deep red flower that's sort of 6-7 foot tall. They got battered around in the storms prior, about 3 or 4 weeks back when we had all those strong winds. But they're actually flowering this week. They've come out and they're flowering. All the daisies are flowering. Impatiens are flowering. There's orange cannas around by the patio by the willow tree. They're all flowering. There's an orange, yellow one there. So, yeah, so that's the garden report. Now on to the very vital and important critter report. In the critter report, my friends the deer, they're continuing to come around, and I'm continuing to throw them apples, apple pieces across, and just for Holger's information, I'll share this bit of information with Holger. I have been told that I may go to a very bad place if I do anything, suggest anything about venison or stroganoff or anything like that, or strips and straps and steaks. Yes, when it comes to the deer, because SP has told me that these animals were here before we were. So we've got several deer, and there's two little baby ones with them today, 2 days ago, and they took off when I went down there. But the ones that I stand and talk with, I haven't seen them for a little while, but they, the ones that are a little more calm, but I guess if you've got some little babies with you, you're not going to be too calm. And rabbits, Brer Rabbit, and all the middle-sized rabbits and the baby rabbits, they're out here as two little babies outside the TV room the other day. They're just sitting out there on the path playing around. Yeah, they sort of stand about 10 or 12 feet away from me, and I just stand and talk to them. And I guess they probably just keep nodding their heads and saying something about who's this silly old fool, but that's okay. I've got to amuse myself somewhere or other, I guess. But and plenty of doves and cardinals galore all over the place, no doubt about it. And then the kitty cat report. Bigfoot, yeah, he loves animals. They taste great. I can say that out loud tonight because SP's not here, so I can say that. Yes, I do love a bit of venison, and have made the odd venison stroganoff. I've got a great venison stroganoff recipe. I think we shared it on the show here a couple of times way back. It's a very good venison stroganoff recipe, but oh my gosh, I think there'd be one guy strung up one big oak tree down the back somewhere if that was to happen, I would think, with SP. But anyway, I'll be a good boy. I'll try and behave. The kitty cats report. Golf, yeah, kitty cats too. Yeah. You'll make real good friends with SP if you suggest that. I always told her to make the cats to make good Davy Crockett hats, but she wasn't amused by that either. But, yeah, I did get to cleaning out the kitty litter boxes today. There's one in the garage, and there's one in the kitchen patio area outside. So these kitties are like little damn dump trucks with what they put out of their little bodies, like little dump trucks. But, yes, they've got their boxes all cleaned and tidied, so trying to get brownie points again. Now Holger, the mayor of Minnesota, is now threatening all those Texas people and denigrating our livestock that we have on the properties here, claiming that we need 12 Texas deer for one venison stew. I won't get into that one. But anyway, the cooking report. Speaking of deer and stroganoff, I tell you what, I've had some couple of great Asian meals. I love my stir fries and things, and I found a magnificent Asian supermarket, and I found it about 12 months ago, but hadn't got to it. I thought they don't even have a website, and I traced them down through the yellow pages. And so after I dropped SP at the airport the other week, I trotted over to this place, which is about 12 miles away from the airport, and I walked into the most magnificent Asian supermarket that I have found in Houston. Unbelievable. There was another one downtown we had been frequenting for the produce they have there and everything. But this one, I have never seen such an absolute extensive selection of vegetables. My gosh. And quality, the quality of the vegetables was incredible. So, yeah, we've had a few little meals with oyster mushrooms and all these little broccolini things and chicken and pork and with a white sort of Asian gravy with the oil, the garlic and the ginger. Just fried it up in the pan, a bit of oil with the garlic and ginger. As it starts to sizzle a bit, toss the veggies in and then stir it around and then add a few pieces of previously cooked either pork or chicken or even throw some fresh shrimp in there. And then when that's starting to fizz around a bit, throw some chicken stock, a couple of cups of chicken stock in, and then just thicken it up with cornstarch and cornstarch slurry. And you get a sort of a whitish gravy, but very nice, very nice. And today, for lunch today, I spoiled myself because SP's not into the hot stuff too much, but I love a good hot green curry. Made a really hot green curry with some barbecue pork pieces, and some water chestnuts and some bell pepper, and put that on white rice. So anyway, that's it. So to the travel report for the week. Now, as I told you guys last week, SP was going away from what you would call a long trip. She's always been threatening to go for a long trip, and she's always looking to trade into trips to places like Pakistan or Antarctica, somewhere where she can get a break from the old guy and get away and get her sanity restored. Well, she's really got a long trip this time, and hence the title of today's show, Solo Man. And we'll talk about that later, but from my point of view, guys, I hope and I pray that Simone Nicole's show may be a vehicle for you and maybe a catalyst to provide and generate a lift for you as you live each day, but to give you a little bit of a break from the tumult and the challenges and the mayhem of the world, because with everything going on in the world, unfortunately, we've got listeners and we've got dear friends around the world with all sorts of challenges, health challenges, financial challenges, and family challenges. And with God's blessings, I know some have gotten into better places. And I've got to congratulate golf, and I won't go into the specifics golf, but other than to say I know that golf in the last 15 months to 18 months through really been disciplined and really been focused on his health with the natural remedies as opposed to the pharmaceutical stuff. He's managed to cut out a bunch of his medications, and he may want to share that with us sometimes, but as I say, I won't go into the specifics, but it's absolutely great to see golf getting him into this position, and I really admire you for that, mate, and keep it up. It's just great to see, and it's great to hear. So it's a reminder for all of us, to just try to maintain your own mental and your physical and your spiritual health, because, as we go down this road to Oldiesville, things do sneak up on you, and just discipline yourself into good habits, with regards to your mental, physical, and spiritual health. It really makes a difference. I can tell you it does. I know that from a fact, and I'm proving it again this week, and I'll talk to you about that a bit later. Just use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. And my weekly job, as always, is to annoy you and ask you, did you exercise today? And when I say, did you exercise today, did you do a little bit more than what you normally do? And I don't care whether it's just getting up and walking around outside the house. If you don't do anything, just get up and do something. And my little challenge for the day, and I'll talk more about it later, I did my calisthenics. I did some weights and rowing, and we'll talk about that later. But I got a bit of a tune I want to play for you here, and it's This is probably going to have Holder running for his antacid tablets and things because it's probably not rowdy enough, but this is a show for relaxation and gentle stuff, not boom, 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 headbanging stuff. But this is a great tune with the mighty Roy Orbison and one of the Gatlin boys and Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees. And I've played it on the show before, but it's great. So you hear them talking at the start, these guys. Are just so much talent on the one stage with Indian Summer.
Steve's been running.
Okay.
I'm through.
Yeah.
Got it. Do it.
Go ready.
Four.
No, no.
Nicole, welcome back, and I'm Joshua. Yes, here I'm standing by the computer on my tippy toes, having a little bouncing around to the tune there. But yeah, great talent, those guys, great talent. Now, as always, we have a little reading on the show from our book, The Best Yet, Life and Lore of the Smokies, written by Miss Bonnie Trentham Myers. Miss Myers has an amazing way of of writing things or stating things. And she has her book, which I call The Little Encyclopedia of the Smokies. She has everything in alphabetical order laid out, and we got finished up with the H's there last week, and we're into the I's this week. And I guess when I look at the chat room, when I look at what's in the chat room here tonight, the first topic coming up here is very appropriate for the chat room tonight. I won't make any comments about the switchboard area. No, I'll be polite. But for the chat room, the very first word that Miss Myers is talking about tonight is impotence. And given the number of geriatrics that are in attendance here, I'm guessing this is probably a common topic. So, she writes that ginseng was often used for impotence. Well, it's interesting the money the Asians make selling ginseng at the airports around the world. The ginseng that comes out of Asia, especially out of Korea, it's incredible. And yet ginseng was one of the staple things up on the Smokies. So, she says, take 1/4 of a teaspoon of ginseng twice a month, or eat 1/2 a cup of unprocessed shelled pumpkin or sunflower seeds daily. I can see there's a certain member of the chat room I can see picking up his phone tomorrow to ring up for a truckload of shelled pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. I can see that happening. But yes, and Miss Meyer says recent solutions for it are to take a bee pollen pill daily, a bee pollen pill. And the fourth one is to soothe or relax tension and stimulate circulation. Massage the area in the back of the ankle about 1.5 inches higher than the shoe line of each foot. All right, I'll leave you guys to sort yourselves out with that. And the next topic that Miss Myers is talking about, which isn't quite as controversial, is to do with Indians, and Cherokee Indians in particular. She said, we call the Native American Indians or Cherokees, and occasionally Indians ate at our table. Mother became badly frightened one night while sitting by an open window when she saw an Indian looking in the window, and she concluded that he meant her no harm. On another occasion, an Indian reached through the fence in a friendly gesture and pinched my sister. It's believed there were Indian and white encounters in almost every path and nearly every home during the very early days. Many arrowheads have been found throughout this region, including many on our farm. And if we met an Indian and were unable to converse, each of us held up the right hand as a friendly signal. I recently learned from my brother, Sam, that shortly before Mother died, she told him we were 1/8 Cherokee. I had always wondered about some Indian ancestry because her father looked like the Cherokees. Looks like someone must have jumped the fence somewhere along the way, I guess. Anyway, she says the pattern they used for their blankets included 2 rows each of yellow, deep yellow, peach, orange, red, wine, dark purple, orchid or medium purple, medium dark blue, or turquoise, light blue, medium dark green, and crochet hook H, or international hook size number 5, which no one in the chat room probably would have a clue what they're talking about, other than the mad scissor lady in the switchboard area, probably. And then her third comment about the Indians was, deep cave art, unlike anything else in America, has been found in 7 caves in the area up in the Smokies. And Native Indians are believed to have created this art more than 450 years ago, and no one has been able to decipher the carvings. The Greater Smoky Mountains National Park formed the heart of the Cherokee Nation, which included Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee. And in the war with the Cherokees in this area, each side accumulated its own collection of horrors. The Indians were said to have captured Fort Loudoun in 1760. In 1761, about 260 men destroyed the Indian middle towns and burned 1,500 acres of corn, beans, and peas and forced 5,000 Cherokees into the forest for the winter. Miss Myers goes on and says, during my early school days, I never understood why Indians scalped people until I learned that the British issued guns and offered Indians rewards for American scalps. It is said that South Carolina offered 25 English pounds for every Indian scalp. The devastating Trail of Tears occurred in 1838. However, about 1,000 Cherokees remained in the area as others were forced to leave under such dreadful circumstances. She says, Cherokees lived in rather rough log structures with one door and no windows. A small hole was left in the roof for the smoke to escape. And the women sat in councils as equals to men, but were accused of having petticoat governments. We believe they never died of snake bites. Perhaps they knew the local weed that was able to cure the snake bite. They had great knowledge of applying herbs and plants for even the most dangerous illnesses. And some people preferred their cures to those of trained medical doctors. Native Americans believe God put his mark on certain individuals to signify they were somehow special. And a Cherokee Indian told me that any person who has a birthmark is a healer. Then he raised his pant leg to show me his birthmark, saying that he was known as a healer. I wondered if the birthmark on my left leg, about the size of a dime, explains my lifelong interest in healing. And then Miss Myers goes on and says, they used irony to correct behavior. We call it reverse psychology today. They praised the coward for his valor. They praised the thief for his honesty and the liar for his veracity. They had a city of refuge like the one described in the Bible. And this was a place of asylum for Native American criminals, especially murderers. And this city was named Chota and was located south of Maryville on the Little Tennessee River. And archaeologists have done some digging in that area. Indian tradition considered dreams or visions to be important, possibly telling the future. They had what was called a dream catcher, which looked somewhat like basketball hoops with nets woven straight across from rim to rim, and they were hung above their beds, and the holes in the center of the tents were supposed to allow evil to escape in their dreams. She also says that Cherokees looked upon these mountains as both sacred and dangerous. One myth tells of a race of little people similar to what we call fairies, and they were helpful and kind, but could make an intruder lose his way. The myth of the tortoise and the hare is also part of Cherokee mythology. The tortoise won the race by having a lookalike stationed around the next curve, so the hare wore himself out before the race was over. And they also believed if a baby's hand was placed in a spider's web, the child would have exceptional artistic abilities. Another belief was that lightning would never strike a tulip tree. They searched for tulip trees for shelter during storms. And some of the Indians had a New Year's ceremony in which fires in every home were doused and the fireplaces were cleansed. And they went to the special place of worship to get fresh coals to rebuild their home fires. And this ceremony also included forgiving all the hurts and the differences of opinion during the past year. They vowed they would never mention or remember them again. They say that revenge is like spitting in the wind. It will come back in your face. And there's a quote she's got here. Why praise the stranger you scarcely know, then praise the fleeting guest, but render many a heartless blow to the one you love the best. That's very, very true. I'll leave that one right there, and we'll play our next amazing music selection I have for the night. yes, who knows where this old fool picks up the music, but I got to say, I love this orchestra, and this tune's a good tune, but... I really have been a fan of Billy Vaughan's for a long time. Modern Nicole. Welcome back, and I'm Joshua. And the next little topic before we get onto tonight's main topic, Solo Man, and the next segment. But the next little topic I want to share with you is something I've shared on the show way back, and I thought it was about time to regurgitate it again, because of the fact that I've had personal experience with this particular thing that causes very acute pain and cramps in your arms, and particularly in your leg muscles, sometimes the thighs, but the calf muscles and ankles. And I guess I don't want to upset any ladies, particularly young Sue in the switchboard area, but I'm not one for sleeping with a lot of clothing on when I go to bed at night. And if the air conditioning is on, whatever temperature the SP has it on, I often sneak out from under the sheets, and like a beached whale, I'm lying there so that the world can attack me. So, but it doesn't. What happens, or what happened? And I found I was getting a lot of leg cramps, and I was looking at my diet, for the pains I was getting in my calf muscles, and there were often times when I had to get out of bed and stand up on my toes and try and get rid of the massage, the cramp in my calves and cramps in my thighs and pains in my ankles. Well, I stumbled across a story which solved this whole problem. It was nothing to do with the diet. I was blaming all sorts of things in our diets as to what might be doing it, you know, a lack of certain vitamins and minerals, whatever it might have been. It's very simple. Draft, D-R-A-F-T, draft. It's amazing, the pain that comes from draft. And the draft I was getting in bed, because I get out from under the sheet, was the draft off the air conditioning or the cooling, coming the cool air. And it only had to be a very, very light breeze. And oftentimes, SP also will turn a little fan on in the room, just a little breeze. And that's the amazing thing. This Asian doctor, this Angela Zhu, she had a patient a few years ago, apparently, who suffered from severe headaches and migraines, and felt so bad that she was nauseous and actually vomited. And the patient had no strength and looked grey and would only get better after one or two days of quietly lying and relaxing in bed, accompanied by some strong painkillers. Well, every time the sickness attacked this person, they felt down and unwell, and also from the frequent painkiller consumption as well. So when the patient came to the doctor and asked, do you live on the ground floor or a higher level? And the patient answered, I'm living on the seventh floor. And there are ocean views on three sides of the apartment. The doctor asked, do you open your windows a lot? And the patient said, yes, always. I enjoy the draft. And that was me as well. I enjoyed the draft on my body. It's sort of, I just like it. Well, the doctor responded, ah, now I've got the reason why you're having the problems. The draft is much stronger in high places, and you would have a headache if you exposed yourself to the draft too much. And the patients asked, does that mean I should feel a headache every day if I open my windows every day? How come I don't? The doctor said, well, when you feel energized, your body has the ability to exude a wind, heat, and cold from your body. However, when you feel tired and when you are stressed or deficient, your body would not have this ability. And when all those things accumulate to a certain level, you would have headaches or migraines. And the reason is that the wind has been staying in your head, so that spasm happens with your vascular and your nerves. And thus it ends up as a headache or even a migraine. So even if you open the window to one side of your apartment, the movement of air is so much softer, with the air coming from one direction only. And the patient ended up feeling much better and had way less headaches after he followed the doctor's advice and also had some acupuncture treatment as well. So I'm just trying to read the chat here. And yes, it is. It is. It is. It is. Hold the Asian food market, the ginseng. It is. Yes. Ah. We could go to another show. One night, actually, I've thought about sharing this. We used to play practical phone calls, make practical phone calls on people in the town, in one of the towns I lived in a past life. And we would, I don't know if I can do it now, but we would talk with a very, very asinine voice and talk very badly to the people on the phone and ask all sorts of silly questions, like getting the council, ask a council for, okay, to bring my cow through town. But no, we won't talk about that tonight. So what is the draft? A draft is this wind channel, and why is it dangerous, and which part of the body does the draft attack? Well, I can tell you, whatever part of your body you've got out in a draft, and I can end up with cramping my hands if my hands are out and in the draft, just when you're sleeping at night, and a couple of hours later you wake up and you've got this pain and whatever. But draft is sharper than a natural wind, apparently, and it can penetrate your skin, your organs, and your body, especially when we're feeling deficient or sick. And children and the elderly, and I guess I'm in the latter category, are especially affected by it. But the draft always prefers to bully the weaker part of our bodies and stay there and make trouble. And it sort of will attack your joints, and it can end up with arthritis as well. And so it's also hazardous to children. And if the wind attacks children, they'll easily get earache or infections, and it can accelerate getting a cold, at least headaches. But the big thing is how to avoid the draft. So avoid staying in the draft. For example, the draft in a cafe, a restaurant, or inside house. Well, I don't see that during the day. I only have it happen at night when it's a sleep situation. So it's just a matter of being aware of it as a nocturnal thing. It's more of a nocturnal thing I see. So, but pay attention to avoiding draft when you're wet after exercise and have got wet hair. And it's important to keep your legs and your arms warm, especially for women. It'll affect the menstrual sides of things, and it may be harder to get pregnant. Not that anyone in our chat room is going to get pregnant, I wouldn't think, but keep your necks and your neck warm, and the neck is the window of the body, according to this doctor. And only open the door on one side of the house, apparently. But, I don't mind the draft in the daytime. I just end up with huge cramps at nighttime. So, anyway, I just want to throw that topic out there because it's an interesting one, because I spent a long time chasing around looking for what was wrong with my diet and from that point of view. So the next little song, I'm sure we can just about put Holger over the edge tonight. It's a love song. It's a love song, and it's a very affectionate song. Anyway, I'll play this one, and we'll see what happens. You love. Nicole. Welcome back, and I'm Joshua. Yes, I remember seeing the live concert that Celine did that song where the little Japanese musician on the violin. Oh man, he was incredible. Anyway, to the topic tonight's topic, the show topic, which is Solo Man. So we've got this topic of Solo Man. So I just want to assure people not to go fretting or fussing or anything, because the old man, Joshua, thank you, Holger, all the best. Good to see you, my friend. The old man Joshua hasn't been evicted or tossed on the street by SP, not at all. You see, SP did something that, yeah, good man, all the best, man. SP did something she hadn't done in ages, and she went on what I was telling you, mentioned earlier in the show, about taking a very long trip, and she left on Monday and gets back next Monday. And so Solo Man is the title of the show. As I mentioned on last week's show, I was going to share with you a goal or a challenge that I set myself while she was away. And right now, I got to tell you, it's working out great. It's working out great because by being on my own all day, where I'm not having to get up at 4:45 in the morning and drive to the airport, or during the day go back to the airport, or at night, whatever, or do other crazy things all over the day, I was able to just be, because I'm being a solo man, I can get my life organized, you see. And so my time is totally my own. And young Sue in the switchboard, no back chatting, no telling me off, please. Just behave, sit on that one-legged stool and behave. But with your time is totally your own. It's great. So, but I thought, well, why not see if I can put this time to use in what I call a disciplined and positive way. And I really needed it, because I've been all over the place lately. It was too many balls in the air, is probably the best way of putting it. So it's been great to get a bit of a discipline going over the last few days. And three things that I decided I was going to focus on. And the first one was to juice every day, and to up my exercise regime and do my exercises regardless of whether I've been pushing the mower or not. Because oftentimes when I'm going to be mowing the lawns and things, I opt out of doing the exercises, because I convince myself, okay, you've done the lawns, you don't have to do exercise. And to also update my list of affirmations, which I haven't done in a long time, and do them daily instead of whenever I feel like doing them. And so I'll chat about it a little bit later about juicing, just when I get through this topic a little bit. But I'll talk about that, about the juicing. But right now, I just want to say I've been juicing and drinking two large glasses of fruit juice, fruit and vegetable juice every day. Excuse me, carrots, celery, apple, beet, lemon, and ginger. They're my top ones. And instead of just doing my exercise circuit just on its own, I've been doing the exercise circuit, which consists of 15 swivels, where you stand upright with your hands held out straight in front of you and clasped together. Turn as far to the right as you can, and then far to the left as you can. Do that 15 times. And then then another one is standing upright. Put your right hand as far down the outside of your right leg as you can, down towards your calves, and back up. And then do your left hand down your left leg as far as you can to your calves, and 15 of those. And then touch your toes with your legs straight, 15 of those. And then I did 15 bench presses with a 35-pound, and then 15 leg raises with a 25-pound. And then 15 squats with no weights, 10 shoulder presses with the 35-pound, and then a 10-pound weight out in front of you 10 times, and then finish with 3 20-second planks, and just work through it slowly. And no rush, no rush at all. Just take your time, work through it, and no time limit. And then out with my Bluetooth headphones at the end of it, turn on the CD player, onto the random selection for music, and then I did 500 rows, which was about 21 minutes on the rowing machine. So, and been having my meals at set times too, and not complaining, but often eating all over the place you know, it's, due to other things going on, it's often sort of a bit mixed up. So I've got more of a pattern going, and it's, you know, when you're having to do honeydews and be Mateo the limo driver and other things, it's not a biggie. Don't get me wrong. It's not a biggie, but I assure you it gets you out of a sort of a set pattern. So that's what I'm trying to set in place. So right now, with 3 days into this little regime, I'm feeling good. And I want to talk about the affirmations, because it's been a while since we mentioned them on the show, but here's a bit of a refresh, and I got to tell you, they work in a very constructive way, especially when you're in a funk or just need to fine-tune that state of mind. And the affirmations really are a tool that we can use to, let's say, fool our subconscious mind. And the subconscious part of our mind has a tremendous effect upon our overall disposition, our state of mind, and our wellness. And I find that affirmations are excellent for two main reasons, because you can use them to help reduce or often remove a negative attribute that you may have. For example, I know that some of my regular listeners will know that I'm somewhat impatient, but not always, but every so often. But if I go back over 30 years ago, I was probably the most impatient guy on the planet. And so one of my first affirmations I did way back then was to sort of reprogram my subconscious mind so that I would be more patient. But you may wonder, how do you do this? Well, at the time, I made a small list of affirmations, and I typed them on a card, and then I sealed and protected the card by using strips of Scotch tape. And I went over that card on the affirmations that were on there. I went over this 3 times every morning, stating the affirmations as if they were a fact, then 3 times at lunchtime and 3 times before I went to bed. And after a while, I didn't need the card to because I could memorize the stuff. But as I just said, you make them so that they're in the now, and you make the statement as if it's fact. For example, my affirmation to deal with impatience, it went like this. I'm a very patient guy, or I'm a very patient tolerant guy, whatever you want. But state it as if it's true, but nothing about, you do not say anything about I'm going to be patient or I will be patient. And worst of all, never say I am not impatient, because what happens is your subconscious mind doesn't pick up the knot, and all it hears is I'm impatient. And so all you're doing is embedding the negative attribute that you have. So I've even used them to assist me with major pain that I've experienced along the way. And a few weeks ago, I had a bout of very, very severe pain in one part of my body, and I had to really, really dig deep to get myself over the hurdle that I was in. It doesn't always work to eliminate the pain, but most times it helps to actually take the debilitating edge off the pain so that I can function a little better. So I can make some statement like, you know, I am pain-free, I'm pain-free and calm, or you just to make a statement that we are pain-free and incorporate that in there, but thereby giving me strength and the space to move forward. But when I go back into the days several decades ago where I set myself up with 5 tangible and 5 intangible affirmations, they were my personal goals at that time. And the tangible ones are like emotions, you know, your patience, your tolerance, your punctuality, being organized, that type of thing. And the intangible ones relate to things like career, income, house, car. And for example, I used an affirmation that stated that I was on a specific salary, having just started out in the banking sector at that time. The number I chose was double the current salary I was on, and in 3 years' time, I blew past that and more than tripled it in 6 years. Plus, ended up with a company car, plus fuel bills paid, and the company gave me a cell phone for my own use as well as the business. But the affirmations really are a great way to sort of excite, to freshen up and rejuvenate your very being, and regardless of what you're coping with. And if you've never done them, all I can say is that they're cost-free, and you just have to make time to be able to sit down and firstly decide what attributes or what situation you want to either improve or even fine-tune a strength that you might already have. Yes, it's very good for fine-tuning strengths that you've got as well and keeping them up the pace. So, and all I can say is they really work, and if you're serious about them and take it in a serious fashion. Now, the juicing that I was talking about earlier in the show here on a couple of occasions tonight There's definitely several books out there that I could recommend as far as juicing goes. My favourite is on Simon's website, simonnicole.net, and it comes under the tab relating to health. But before you embark on a juice regime, there's some things I've learnt that you may find helpful in turn and not make juicing a chore, because when it becomes a chore, you're not so inclined to do it, thereby negating the positivity that comes from it. And so... firstly, get a good juicer, a great juicer, and one doesn't need a team to clean it. You want a juicer that's so easy to clean and put together that makes it much more pleasant, because some juices take longer to put together and take apart than the actual juicing. And the one that we've used for nearly 20 years is a Waring, W-A-R-I-N-G, Waring juicer, and it's really easy to assemble and to clean. And I think that's on the website, on the health page as well. But... another thing that can be really annoying is to start from scratch each time you choose to juice, and that is washing and preparing the fruits and veggies, washing them and topping and tailing things like carrots and celery and whatever else. So what we do, or what I've been doing, is I'll buy enough fruit and veggies for 4 days, and that there, for what I'm doing at the moment, is for a four-day period, 5 pounds of carrots, a large bunch of celery, a real large bunch of celery, or two smaller ones. And this is for 4 days. A large apple or two smaller apples for every day, and one lemon a day, and then two large beets for 4 days. I'm talking about big beets, or you're going to have to get the smaller ones and use a smaller one each day. So sometimes they come in bunches of three and sometimes in bunches of two. But the bigger ones you can cut down into smaller pieces, and then a thumbstick size of ginger root. And what I do then is I have a session in the kitchen where I'm topping and tailing the carrots and the celery and washing them, scrubbing them in the water in the sink, cut them into half length, because sometimes the longer carrots are too big for the Ziploc bag. So I get a real big Ziploc bag and put them in there, and put them in there, cut them into length half lengthwise. And I have three large Ziploc bags, which has carrots in one, celery in the other, and then the other one's got the beets and the apples and the ginger and the lemon. So on one day's juicing, I'm just using over a pound of carrots, four or five large celery stalks, and the apple, the lemon, and the ginger, as I've suggested. And the Waring juicer is real easy to clean. You just dump all the fiber inside your trash bin, give it a good rinse and a scrub, and then you sit down and drink your drink. And with that mixture I've been doing there, I've been getting two large glasses of juice, which is great. But remember the story I've told you before. There's no way in the world that you can sit down and eat all those fruit and vegetables in a sitting, but you can sit down and drink them all. You can drink it all. So give it a go. That's all I've got to give you on that one. So it makes a big difference. There is no doubt about it. It makes a big difference. Now, I want to just our last little tune here before we go to our prayer in the closing part of the show. Our little closing tune for the night is Norman Greenbaum. This is Simone Nicole. Welcome back. I'm Joshua. Remember this, my friends. Every day is a lovely day. And just focus on being grateful for the blessings you have. And this prayer that we have here is for those of you out there dealing with challenges at this time, regardless of what the challenge is. This prayer is for you at this particular time.
Listeners of Simone and Nicole. Let us pray. To those of you who are dealing with and confronting challenges within your own lives. Words of encouragement are all I have. Words of understanding are all I have. Words of comfort are all I have. Most of all, words of brotherly love and humane friendship are all I have. You are not alone. This prayer is for those of you who are not in a good place with life at this time. For whatever reason that may be, the only tool I have to reach out to touch you and lift your spirits, lift your energy, are my words. With these words coming from within my heart, I assure and comfort you and tell those of you dealing with hard times that life does get better. Yes, believe me, from the darkness, light will shine. If I had the wings of a soaring bird, I'd fly over to be with you at this time. Then you'd know you are not alone. Always know that we're here for you. May our prayers softly sweep away the rawness. May our prayers push away the pain as you work to wilt the worry of your crisis. Whatever the dark dilemma may be, whatever pain and anguish you may be suffering, know that within yourself you can triumph over the turmoil. Know that you have the power within yourself to seize, to believe, and to achieve. The darkness will wither as the positive golden light of goodness washes upon your life. Together we will join across the ocean waters, across the soils, the forests, and the deserts, and you will rise above the challenge before you. May you find an energy. May you receive strength to continue through this day and into tomorrow. Soon your darkness will fade. A golden dawn will bring another lovely day. May peace be with you. Let us not give a thought to what we do not have. Let us thank God for the blessings that we do have. Amen.
Thank God for all the blessings that surround us. And you folk, you are my blessings as well. So thank you for being here with us this evening. And that's Young Sue in the switchboard with Young Alan. And thank you to Bigfoot and Golf and Holder and Mike. Thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it. You guys are blessings in my life. So, but remember this. Start at zero, my friends. Start at zero. Start with absolutely nothing. Everything else above that is a treasured bonus. But keep dreaming the dream, visualize your dream, see it, believe it, achieve it, and then you can do it. So until we meet again, my dear friends, take care, be gentle on yourself. This is Simon Nicole, and I'm Joshua. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless the USA. And we'll wander out again with a dream in our pocket with the Seekers.